Hey, hello everyone. Good afternoon. So this is the last session. You made it to the final. Hey, thanks very much for joining us for this very last one. My name is Emilio Salvador. I work for Microsoft. I'm based in Redmond. And in fact, I came from Build early this morning. And with me, you can introduce yourself.
Yes, I can. My name is Matthijs Hoekstra. I work in the team of Emilio in Redmond as well. Just moved from the Netherlands. So we're both the foreigners in Redmond, right?
Yeah, in the team, funny. We run developer marketing. I'm from Spain. He's from the Netherlands. We've got, a few other people from the U.S. And who else? A French guy, Jean-Christophe. And
we've got a guy from Texas. That's a different country as well, right?
Yeah, that's a different country. So we are here to talk to you about Windows Phone. Windows Phone applications, you know, and how to monetize your investments on those applications. But let me ask you one question first. How many of you have developed an app for Windows Phone, for iOS, for... Okay, that's great. That's a good number. How many of you for Windows Phone? How many of you for iOS? Good. How many of them for, Android? Great. So, hey, this is the last session. My idea is to make this as interactive as possible. So please, feel free to ask any questions, share your experiences with us. I mean, we're all here to learn from each other. So don't expect just us just to give you the pitch. I like this to be, you know, as I said before, as interactive as possible. So, hey, setting the stage. If you've been following the news that we shared with everyone a couple of weeks ago, it's like, hey, We are seeing a ton of momentum in the app ecosystem, especially for Windows. I mean, Windows just passed the 100,000 mark in terms of application. We announced that we have in the marketplace 160,000. So when you combine those two numbers, it's 260,000 and growing extremely, extremely rapidly. Less than a year ago, we had just as Windows Phone 100,000 apps. So what we're seeing is we're getting more and more developers betting on the platform and developing new experiences. That is great. That's the good news. The bad news is that, hey, it's getting packed. It's more difficult today than it was before to make money on the platform. So we're going to go through here, through some ideas, some framework, and share with you some of the best experiences and best practices that we've seen in the marketplace to help you think about how you can monetize your application, how you can make money or more money, you know, on either Windows or Windows Phone. There's no magic here. I mean, there's one thing that we all know, have to address. I mean, you want to make more money, the first thing you need to do is, hey, you got to get people to use your application. You got to think about the markets you plan to target with your application. In addition to that, I mean, step number two is that how can I get as many people as I can at least to try my application? How can I drive awareness about my application? I mean, those are the things that we need to keep in mind when we start developing an application. The third thing is, which is extremely, extremely important, is that, hey, how do I monetize my application? I mean, do I have an app for free, ad supported? You know, do I go from trial or from free to pay? Do I implement in-app purchases? So there are plenty of different ways, different mechanisms that you can use to monetize your application. Thinking through every single one of those steps is gonna be key for your success. Step number one is, hey, let's get as many users as we can. What we see in the marketplace today is that a huge majority of the applications are developed in English and English only. Language is going to be one of the main points that you need to consider when you develop your application. You have to think also about the markets you want your application to be used. I mean, we tend to think that everyone in the world has a credit card. That's not always the case. If you go to China, if you go to India, if you go to Russia, people don't carry credit cards. They don't pay with credit cards. That's why one of our main bets is to work with the local mobile operators to make sure that people can pay through those. So that's one of the things for you. If you're thinking about, hey, I just want to go for a paid application and I'm going to target the Chinese market, perhaps not a good idea. Why? Because people don't have credit cards. If you're thinking about emerging markets, maybe what you have to think about is more like an ad-supported model, and we'll talk about that, later today. But when you think about the markets where we have presence, think also about the telco companies, the mobile operators behind those, because what we see is that in some cases, we multiply by four times, you know, the amount of money people spend on those applications, because all of a sudden, instead of using a credit card, they can use the phone and pay the app through the bill in a monthly basis. We are already in about 190 markets. We support more than 80 languages. So that gives you an idea, you know, of the breadth of the number of countries and the potential markets where we're in. And you have here, you know, just a few logos of all the companies that we are working with. We already have 30. Our plan for next fiscal year is to get to 60, 70 markets where we are going to have mobile operators, you know, where we can go and do the billing through. As I said before, hey, go after every single market. Think about the languages and the markets that you want to target. This can give you an idea of where to start from. English is going to be number one, but if you combine English, Chinese, Spanish, and Russian, you are probably going to address 80% of our existing user base. And you can see that with the apps, the top 10 apps that we have in the marketplace, they are already targeting at least six or more languages. What I'm saying, especially for small developers and small development shops, is that it doesn't make any sense, you know, to go and localize your application in like 25 different languages, because in some of those cases we don't have enough customer base, and in some other cases it's not worth the effort. So if you have to think about, hey, where do I start from? If you want to reach as many people as possible, think about English first, Chinese second, or the other way around. You know, if you know Chinese, you have a Chinese friend, start with Chinese. Chinese, English, Spanish, and then Russian. And that'll give you enough coverage to start making money with your application. Step number two is that, hey, think about the platform that you want to target. Right now, we have about 40% of the existing base is still using Windows Phone 7, but that is changing really, really rapidly. Not only about targeting the new platform, but also the new capabilities that we have with Windows Phone are going to make you easier to make money through your application, in-app puts to say. So, I mean, the idea of having access to more ad controls and access to more markets will come, you know, with the help of Windows Phone 8. And one of the things that we shared at Build a couple of days ago when Stevie was on stage, he said, we didn't make any new announcements about Windows Phone. We talked about Windows Blue, Windows 8.1, but one of the things that we said from Windows Phone is that, hey, your investments will carry forward. You can develop an app today, you can target Windows Phone, that application will work on our next release. So we've made that commitment. We made that commitment with Windows Phone 7. All the applications that people developed before worked on Windows Phone 8. The applications that you develop today will work on our next release, whenever that happens, and it will happen. Going back to the language, and I've got an extra slide for this because I consider this critical. It is the easiest thing for you to do today, you know, and it's probably one of the things where people spend the least amount of time, is go and target multiple languages, target multiple countries. There are different ways. I mean, and it depends on the size of your company, the amount of time and the resources that you can put behind your application. But you can go from just localizing what you have on the store, you know, just the name of the application, just the description. You can go all the way to translating every single piece of text on the app itself. So think about your resources, think about the markets, and then you can go step by step. But it's like, think first, you know, on what are the languages that you want to target on the markets you want your application to be used. Second is about how to increase downloads of your application. And again, there's no magic formula here. But I think there are different steps and a thinking process for every developer to think about when they develop an application. I mean, the first thing is that, hey, there are so many apps in the market, 260,000, that it's hard to find a niche. So in many cases, what we see is people developing applications that already exist. Then the challenge is, well, how will people know about my application? This is just a good example. If you search, you know, for app, you can pick weather as an example, or you can pick, you know, a clockwork as another example. Go to the store, you're going to get, I mean, 100, 200, 300, 400. Your application can be one of them. So how do you make your app different than those? Hey, so that process starts from the very beginning. when you start thinking about your app, when you think about your icon, how do you make your icon to stand out from all the other icons that people have? But it's not only icons. How do you describe your application? 60% of the applications that people download, I mean, come through search. People go and search for something. So when you think about your description, and you have a couple of examples here, is that you can go with, hey, this app is super cool, and no one will find it, or you can provide a meaningful description that helps people understand what your application does. You can always use different tricks. I mean, as you can see here, one of the applications is a paid application, but it says free, even if there's a trial. People search for terms like, hey, weather free, I don't know, clock free, alarm free. So keep in mind that there are different keywords that will help, I mean, your application to be discovered by the users. Search is the main vehicle that you guys are going to have to make your application visible to consumers. Design. There's nothing new here. There's no magic. It's like, well, yeah, this is obvious. Yeah, have a good design. But take a look at different examples. Same application, weather. There's nothing magic in a weather application. The only thing magic is the design. I mean, on the right-hand side, what you have is Weatherflow. That is the most downloaded weather application that we have in the store. And you know what? People pay for that. They pay $2 and $3 for that application. Why is that? Because the experience, the user experience, and the design that comes with the app is extremely cool. Takes advantage of all the Windows Phone features, live tiles, the splash screen, lock screen, everything. But even though, technically, it is not that different, you know, to other apps that you have on the store. The key and important point is the amount of time that team put in delivering a great design, a great user experience with great pictures, working with the typography, with the numbers, providing a unique experience that helped drive awareness about the application. They didn't do any promotion. It's just, I mean, the power of consumers talking about that application helped them make, I mean, I wouldn't say millions of dollars, but it's thousands of dollars just with an application that all it does gives information about the time. Hey, and you've got another example that comes from us. That's Microsoft, you know, the ugly one on the left-hand side. If you take a look at the information, it's kind of the same. You get the same details. There's nothing new. Hey, give me the temperature and tell me about the forecast, either in a daily basis or in an hourly basis. But there are different ways of basically showing and displaying the same information. And what we've seen many, many times is like, hey, working together with a designer helps tremendously. In our experience, designers are really bad developers. Developers are really bad designers. So if you have the possibility of combining those two skills together, you know, go for it. Think through, I mean, the user experience, think through, I mean, the design that you want to put behind that, you know, and get some help, some expertise from designers. Reliability. I mean, this is easy, but the main cause of dissatisfaction when people go buy or try an application and provide a negative review is because the application is not reliable. Crashes. Application crashes. And when they crash, people get pissed and they provide negative feedback. And that negative feedback is going to affect the overall rating. And because the rating is going to be negative, when people search for an app like yours, I mean, they will not get that app at the top results. Because the way our algorithms work are based on number of downloads, ratings, reviews, and things like that. So the best chance that you have, even though you may not have a ton of reviews, but if the ones that you have are really good, I mean, the search, the result is going to be better positioned in the results that people are going to see. So we'll have a demo about that. But right now with the Dev Center, you have plenty of information about your apps, how many times they crash, why are they crashing. So look at those. Look at those. You know, you got to keep improving your application. You got to make it as stable as you can so people don't get frustrated with the results of the application when either they try or they buy it. Listen and learn. your application is not a one-shot thing. You know, when you think about the most successful applications, what you can see is that they've developed multiple versions of the same application. Why is that? Because they keep listening to the customers. I mean, and you can listen to them via multiple channels. You know, one of them is that the reports that you get from the dev center regarding crashes. You can take a look at the ratings. What you can also do is that you can implement analytics within your application. So you know how people use your application, the things that work, the things that don't work. So keep that in mind. It's like it's a continuous cycle. I mean, you develop, you test, you give to users, you get feedback, I mean, and then you refresh your application, you update your application based on your customer feedback. That's the only way, that's the path to success. You gotta keep iterating on that loop until you get to a point where people are extremely happy and they talk about your application. Finally, hey, market your app. It's 260,000 applications in the Windows ecosystem. We hope we will have as twice as many 1 year from today. The same is happening with iOS and Android developers. It's like the challenge today is like, hey, there are many applications. There are so many applications, so many people. So how do I make money? How do I make people aware of my application? So we've got a merchandising team that promotes applications. There are things that we can do for you. Like, for example, we have the Stripe deals. That is, hey, you have an application in the marketplace, you are willing to reduce the price by 50%, and you contact with us, and your application is of good quality, we will promote your application. But you know what? Things start with you. Don't develop an application if you don't know how to market it. You have to start marketing your application yourself. I mean, social media, websites, friends, family. Use every single channel you have access to promote your application. If you don't promote it, no one is going to do it for you. So there are things that can help you. I mean, use your logo or even buy ads. That's an easy way. You know, AdDuplex, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. AdDuplex is an ad network that is basically focused on developers or application builders. The way it works is that, hey, you give ad space from your app to AdDuplex, and in return, AppDuplex is going to give you ads. So the business model is pretty basic. It's like, hey, you don't get money, you get money from your ads, but also you get a space to promote your own app in other applications. It's cheap, it doesn't take a long time to implement that into your own application, and it's a way for you to promote, I mean, to keep promoting your application. But there are things that you can do within your application as well. You've got things like push notifications, you've got live tiles. And that is your channel, the window you have to talk to your end consumer. It's like, use that information in a meaningful way. You can use that to promote your own application, or you can use that to promote other applications that you have. AE Mobile, or even games, this is just a couple of examples here. You know, one of the most successful developers, in fact, AE Mobile, these are the, right now, they've got about 25 apps, and they are the most downloaded apps in our store. Look at what they do, you know, on the corner. They promote all the apps they have. And they do that all the time. You know, even they are using our ad control, and sometimes the fill-in rate is not optimal. If you don't get an ad from our ad service, you know what you can do? Use your own ad. Create your ads and promote your own apps within your own apps. There's nothing cheaper than that. So that's one of the things that you have to consider. Not only, hey, how do I develop the app, get a designer, have a great idea? Marketing the app is as important as the development process. So with that, we'd like to spend some time with you giving a sense of what kind of information you can get from analytics. You can implement analytics, you know, in a very soft way, or you can go, I mean, with third-party services all the way to understanding, you know, what people do with your application. I mean, getting information on crashes is good, but there are many other things that you can do to get more insights on how your application is used and what users would love to have on your application.
All right. So Emily talked about a few things. So let me switch to my machine and show you a few things in practice. So this is the developer dashboard you have when you're a phone developer. Some people already know it because you already build apps. This is the place where you start uploading apps, where you create your description, upload your logos, etc. But we also do a little bit of reporting. So the basic stuff is here, on the home page. So I have a couple of little apps. I just make stupid stuff as a demo. I don't make any money. I have to work for my money just at Microsoft, which is great. I'm not going to be a billionaire on apps ever. But I like the fame and glory, right? So we do it just for a little pride. So I have a few apps, three of them here. And you can see the number of downloads during the day. So there's a daily download record and a total. What does it tell me? I can zoom in and see where the people are downloading my apps, which is great. But I can also see if there's crashes. And you can't believe it, I make really, really simple apps, but they still crash once in a while. Well, let me see if it will load it up, or I just go into my apps, that may be better. And the network is sometimes slow, so bear with me for a while. So let me go to my most famous or infamous, I would call it, app. Here's some statistics, the downloads, the crash reports. You can't believe it. The only thing it does is squeak when you hit it, but it still crashes once in a while. And I know why it's happening. I have an information that maybe I should show it. There should be rubber duck in every presentation, I think. Sorry about that.
That's what I meant by marketing your own application. So you use every single opportunity you have to tell people about your application.
It was six or three. This was it. Okay. Can you see it? Yes. So it's a simple app. The only thing, my main audience is my three-year-old daughter. So she loves this app. I got a lot of reviews of people think it's childish. That's correct. And I can enter, increase the sound. That's the main function. So one of the tips you can get, make something, like an app which does one thing really well. That's what I did. There's an information page, and what I can do is, with a button, hit on the button, I can go to the review page. But what sometimes happens, if you double-click the button, it crashes. That's the crash count you saw on the portal. It's really simple. So, really simple, single-use app, which will result in a few crashes if you don't be careful. This is my machine. What you can also do, if you go to the crash reports, and I can go into more details, here we are. For all your apps, you can export it. You can go to the crash count. And you can export the stack traces to Excel. And that's what you can use to analyze what's going on. So you can be proactive. Before people start complaining about how crappy your app is, you can do an export trace. Why is it necessary? What we see a lot of times, when do the most crashes happen? When people upgrade their app, and this is just the upgrade scenario. So you have an application which saves your the configuration and the settings. They release the next version, and the new version can't read the settings of the old version. So it happens, and we've done it as Microsoft as well in the past. You open up the new app, it closes immediately. That's not a good experience for your users. So whenever you update your app, make sure you check the crash counts. It will be showing here. You will see a spike. You can immediately update your app, submit it to the store, hope certification goes really fast, and if you know somebody with DPE and it's an important app, ask him to check if they can improve the speed. We give reports about where people are downloading your app, but you want to know where people are using your app as well. What's your most active user base? So you're great in translating your description, so people download your app in Russia, but they might not be using it. So you can use third-party products, for example, Flurry, which gives you some insight in how people are using your app. Or you can use Emtix, I will show you a little bit as well. So here you can show your active user base. So how many times are people using your app? Are they returning users or are they new users? That's important. Some people don't care about how many downloads they have, but for example, news sites, they care about how many users are coming back to the app and use it all the time. And this tool will give you some insights. You can use it for free. Same goes for Emtix. You can see how many sessions, how many downloads, what kind of device are used. Should I optimize for 720p resolution or not? And which areas are the application used most, during the day or during the night? You can use Google Analytics as well. People are comfortable using Google Analytics for websites. That's usable for Windows Phone as well. And lastly, what I want to show you is getting user feedback is important, right? So what can you do to get more feedback? There's a simple trick. What I did in this application, I will demo. Emulator. I stopped the app, I started again. It will ask me, hey, you started up this app, and I did it 2 times, for example, five times. You seem to like this app because you started up for the 5th time. Do you want to leave a review? Sure. And it will automatically go to your review site. You can give 5 stars and submit. The theory behind this is, why would people start up an application for the 5th time if they don't like it? So they seem to like it. Ask for a review. So I talked,
Because it crashes.
Yeah, that's a good one. Then don't ask for it, right? What I found out, the guys who wrote Rocket Riot is a game, they say, never ask for a review after they lost from the big boss. That's smart. Yeah. So after they won a level, ask for a review. And if you make it easy with a press of the button, people tend to do it. So I got some feedback from people when I showed how to code this, and that's what I did. It's really easy.
Keep in mind that it takes about 150 downloads for a person to write a review. You know, you like to improve that number. Why? Because that's going to improve the discoverability of your application. You know, the more reviews and positive reviews, of course, I mean, you get, the more likely is your app is going to be found for other users.
So what I do every time I start up the application, this code is called. I check if the counter, you can store the count in isolated storage, which is persistent. If it's at 2, I say, well, ask for the review next time is true. In my main page or every startup page you have, you can do the same. Oh, where's my project? I should stop it. If the ask for review is true, make sure you start the marketplace review task. That's what happens. If you call this, then it will start automatically the review task for the marketplace, or the store, I should say, the store. And then people leave a review. That's it. A few lines of code. So I got feedback from guys that I had like a couple of hundred reviews for my app. I implemented, I went to 50 reviews a day. So people tend to download 4 or 5 star applications with a lot of reviews sooner. And we increase the rank of your app if you have a lot of good ratings. So no crashes, good ratings will improve the ranking of your app. So really simple to implement.
Well, these are some of the. We're going to keep these on the slides. You already saw these, just for people who come back later, and everyone is going to get access, you know, to the deck, so they can see some of the screenshots that we went through today, and also, you know, the sample code that he used for the review. So step number 2 is, hey, I'm going to make money with my app. How do I do that? I mean, there's 3 basic kind of business models. As I said, hey, you can go straight to paid. That's not a good idea. Why? Because 95% of the apps that people download are free. So you should think about going to a freemium or free to paid model. Go through a trial. The other alternative that you have is like, hey, go for free and implement IAP, in-app purchases. You know, and of course, you always have the 3rd model, which is, I mean, ad-based. You have your app, and you have ads, and then you monetize your application through those ads. So, hey, when you think about, I mean, what people are doing today, it's about 94%, and that number gets bigger. If you go to the top 25, it's about like 96, 97% of those apps. You know, they use trial. Give users the possibility to test your application. But be careful. Trial is a little bit of an art and a science. Because you want to give people the opportunity to test your app, but not too much. Or don't give them too much functionality they can try, because otherwise they will never, you know, buy the full version. But as you can see here, you know, is that the second trend, and we're seeing that happening more and more and more. I mean, almost all the new apps that we are seeing come for free. And then it's either trial or in-app purchase. I think the thing here is that the ratios converting people is pretty standard. It's 1 to 5%. So what you need is to get as many people as you can, because what you know is that 5% of them will end up buying the application. There are in a few occasions that people are lucky. I had a chat with Disney a couple of days ago, and they are seeing a 50% conversion ratio, but they are using apps for kids where they are exposing most of the library they have, I mean, in terms of books for kids. So the app goes for free, you get 5 books, and what they are doing is that, hey, you want to add an extra book, you want to add more characters, they're implementing, you know, in-app purchases, and they are making a ton of money with that. And that is probably the best performing application they have today in the store. When you think about how to move people from trial, you know, to pay, I mean, there are different ways to do that. And there are 3 different examples here. One option is that, hey, give a time-bombed version like this with the app. It's like, hey, you can try that app for 72 hours, and after that, there's nothing else you can do with it. That's one way. Okay, you just got to make sure that people use the app in a meaningful way for 72 hours before kind of you kill it. I mean, option 2, which is pretty straightforward, for example, with Photoshop, one of the best performing, I mean, apps that we have in the store, is that you can do everything you can do with the app except saving the content. So that gives people, you know, a good understanding of how the app works, how it performs, and if they want to, I mean, they can always buy the full version and then get the possibility to save the pictures. And then with Puppet Cherry, which is same idea, that is not working as well as the other ones. Why? Because with games, I mean, some people just want to, you know, spend the time playing a game. They don't mind not saving the game. I mean, they can always start from scratch every single time, especially if you have kids. I mean, I've been playing with that app for a long time, not me, my kid, and he doesn't mind spending, you know, going back again through the first stage of the game. They get better at that. But those are kind of the three standard ways that people have when they think about moving from a trial to a paid mode. Of course, you know, we have IAP, and we're seeing that more and more. What people do is that they add things within the app that people can buy. So sleep is, you know, one of the apps where you get some background noise that helps you sleep, and it comes with a standard set. If you want to add more things to that, you pay for those. Fresh Paint, for example, Windows 8 app that you've seen probably, they're great for kids, you can paint with your finger. The app is free. The packages that come from the app with the app are not free. You gotta pay an extra for that. You can see that in books, you can see that in chapters. So you can have either consumables or durables that you can buy, you know, within your app. Another example, you know, with games, and you see that a lot, is hey, I mean, that's a game, it's a card race, it's something that you want to add an extra car. You want to give the car some extra power, more gas. You want to buy coins in a game for you to buy stuff within the game. Those kind of the standard activities, you know, and the standard ways people monetize applications, you know, using IAP. There's 2 ways. At the end of the day, what you have to define, and you can define that through the Dev Center, is that there are 2 main mechanisms. Either you buy consumables that people can use. As I said before, it's like, hey, a game currency, you know, or book chapters or extra books within some sort of book environment, or durables. Elements that you can buy and you can use within your app experience. Coins is a really good example. Or extra features that you can add to the app. Looking through the different apps, you know, that we have in the store, this is probably the one I invite you to download the app, especially if you are into golf, and play with it. This is an amazingly good example that even Steve Ballmer loves it because he's into golf, and he used this at Build the other day. This app gives you a little bit of everything. You get the app for free, you can try it out, you can buy more features that are like kind of 3 different models. You can have like the basic, the pro, the premium, and it also gives you the opportunity to buy extra stuff within the application. Not only that, they have different versions of the app, a Windows Phone 8 and a Windows Phone 7, so they can target every single market within this application. Before we go to the demo and we talk about this, one of the good things about the IAP is that it gives you the possibility to monetize your application either through us or without us. So, I mean, think about, especially for enterprises, or especially if you're targeting one particular community, you can always build your application, you offer that application for free, but then there's some sort of subscription model that you implement with your own backend. That doesn't need to go through our store. If it goes through us, hey, we get a cut, we get 30%, because we gotta maintain the store. But you can always think about, hey, different ways, different methods, or providing licensing to your users. And you see that in many applications. You develop your app, people have to sign up, they go to our website, they get a code, they use that code, and they unlock the app. That's one approach. You can implement some sort of subscription service. Again, I mean, login, username, password, and there's a backend that gives you access to specific content within that application. Book publishers, magazine publishers use that all the time. So think broadly in how you want to monetize and the services that you want to build to monetize your application. So.
All right. So let me show you a little bit about how you can build this and how easy it is to do. And take into account all the in-app purchases models we are just showing. It's the same API as you can use on Windows 8. So you can share this knowledge across the different platforms. So I have a sample application here. It's called the Contoso Cookbook. So let me run it first and go through the scenarios before we dive into the code. So it's a free app. It implements the trial mode, and we can do some in-app purchases. We can buy durables and consumables. So what you can see here is that I have a few logs. It's a recipe cookbook, and you can display different recipes. So if I go to the French recipes, there are six of them. It says, well, you need to buy the app first before you go any further. So it would be logical, for example, just give away for free the French recipes, and the rest you can buy if you want to unlock the app. So if you buy this app, it's a debug trial. I'm emulating the in-app purchase now because this application is live, and I will show you in a bit how you're going to do it. Okay, sure, buy the app. And at this time, I have my recipes for the French recipes, and I can view them. If I want to use the Chinese recipes, I say, oh, you can't watch them. You have to buy this package of Chinese recipes. So if I hit buy, oh, that's my breakpoint. I don't need that. Do you want to buy it? Yes, sure. And now I have my Chinese recipes. So I did in-app purchases to buy the Chinese recipe pack. Another one I can do is, oh, yeah, let's make this recipe and set my timer. And I only have 39 minutes in my application, but I need 60 to cook this dinner. So I can buy extra minutes for my timer. And there's four different in-app purchase consumables. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, and 15 minutes. So that buy 20 minutes. Yeah, sure, I want to buy it. Breakpoint again. Probably doesn't make sense to buy minutes for a cooking timer, but it's the general idea, right? So if I go here, see, oh, I got 59 minutes, still not enough, buy more. The good thing of Windows Phone is parents tend to be a little bit scared about giving the phone to the kids so they can buy stuff. So what we do on Windows Phone, you can enter a PIN code in your wallet. So every time you want to do in-app purchases, you have to enter a PIN code. So you won't be surprised if you give the phone to your kid, they buy like $200 of Smurf berries or something like else, or I don't know what stuff you can buy on this in-app purchase. So you can protect as a parent the phone for this kind of misbehavior. So how do you implement this? So we got two things. First, we have trial mode. When you upload an application to the store, you can say, well, this app is like $2, but there's a free version for it. So you check off, okay, there's a trial mode. So people can go to the store and download for free, or you can buy it immediately. It's a choice. So if I go to Visual Studio, first thing I want to show, okay, how are you going to build this if you don't have an application live? We provide a mock API. So we can like in-app purchases, servers in your application, we talk against that one. So if I go into my appxaml.cs, this is what I do. Only a few lines. If I'm in debug mode, use the mock library. If I'm not in debug mode, you talk to the real thing. There is a trick to talk to the real thing and check if everything's working. It's like uploading a beta app in a store. You can define in-app purchases. I will show you in a minute. talk against that, or you just do everything locally against the mock API. What this thing does is in your initialize, I go a little bit lower. I initialize the API, run in mock mode, blah, blah, blah. And I load my in-app purchases from an XML file so you can test the application locally. An XML file looks like this. Where is my data? It describes that it is an Italian package with some with a name and a description. It's a durable, there's a price. So every time I test the application, it will show you this. And I can easily copy this to the portal to work in real time in the real application as well. So that's step one, use the mock API. Then there's this function. I want to check if the application is in trial mode. The platform will make sure that it knows if you have a trial version, a trial license, literally, we download a license from the store, or a paid license. So whenever we check this, it will come from the mock API or from the real API, say trial is true, trial is false, you detect it once, you use the variable in your code, every time you go, oh, it's a trial mode, don't show this level. If you're not in trial mode, you can show the full thing. And if you want to buy the application, we say, well, do you want to buy this application? And in the real world, we just show the marketplace details task. It goes to the same page as you were in when you go to the search and say, well, do you want to buy this app, yes or no? You're going to buy it. What we do is we download the new license, only the license, so you don't need to re-download the entire app. And it will switch trial mode in the license information. So when you go back to the application, you check, well, did he really buy the application, yes or no? Oh, trial is false, so we know it's the full thing. It's easy as that. That's implementing trial mode. It's like two lines, three lines of code, and you're done. Really easy to do. If you just have a paid app and you don't do a trial, you're just throwing away money. That's already told by Emilio. We have the numbers. Just make sure if you have a paid app, implement trial. It's so easy to do. So the other one was, where's my buy stuff? Functionality. Oh, that's here. I can't find it anymore. I don't know where it was anymore. I had some details about how you can do in-app purchases. It's almost the same. Wait a minute, bear with me for a second. I don't know it anymore, Emilio. Here it is. So here, we do a few things. So we build up the list with recipe packs, and we check, do you have a license or not? That's just done by going through the product listing. What we do is when we read out the XML or we go to the store, what are the in-app purchase packages? And we call them Italian, Chinese, French. We just check, okay, I'm now loading the French pack. Do we have a French license, yes or no? That's done in these two lines. So I just check if this product listing is there. I return the license information from the recipe. And if it's true, I will not show the unlock code. And if it's false, I will show the little key lock so you can't open up. So that's all done in my application. And now we do the where to buy in a project. Where is it? Buy, here it is.
No. Oh, it's the last session of the day. I lost it. This is the button. Where's the code behind of my page? Product info. There it is. So when I go to the store, I say, well, get me the information from the store. Maybe I already bought it on another phone, so I always need to check, hey, this is a recipe for the French recipes. Maybe he bought it on another phone, so I don't need to recharge him again. Buy the stuff and enable it in your application. The consumables, that's the timer stuff. So this is the check, and if not, get me the licenses. It will automatically start up the pop-up and ask you to buy it. And the other one is the consumables. That's something that's a little bit different. We don't store the state of the consumables. We just know if you bought a pack. So if you want to buy 100 gold coins of Smurf berries, we just know that you bought 100 Smurf berries. We can check that. But we won't check if you spent all 100. So for the timer, for example, I store those locally. If you want that to be available roaming over different phones, make sure you store it somewhere securely on a server. So every time I spend some minutes or consumables, I store it locally in my application. That's what you see here. I buy them. I check if I have some. I set the remaining cooking time because I add them to the already existing minutes. Every time a minute is deducted, that's something I store in my application. We as Microsoft, we don't know about that stuff. So we can do like, okay, buy for a dollar this 100 minutes, and you have to be responsible for checking out if you still have 100 or 50 minutes. That's the main difference. I'm now against the mock API. It just checks for the debug session. So if I unlock this one, I start the emulator again. Oh, let me uncheck the. And I need to do a little track because it is slow if I. Okay. There is. What you see now is I already have the Chinese pack, but I don't have the Italian pack. If I'm going to buy a timer, I just see 10 minutes and 23 minutes. That's because I'm now using our own store to get this data. And that looks like this. I go to maps. I have this beta product. It's just an application. You can upload accept, and if people know it within this phone, we have a couple of ways to upload an application. Just upload it and publish it. Everybody can find it. Upload it and publish it hidden. That's a trick. We certify the application first, and you can do a beta release. So you upload the app. We don't certify it. You can invite, like, I think 10,000 people at the moment using the Live ID. And after a few minutes, the application is available. You send out a link to all those people, and they can test your app. You can get reviews, you can get feedback. It's a really nice way to distribute, but you can also use it to test in-app purchasing. So if I go back to the list, I have a couple of them. For example, I have 10 minutes, 23 minutes. They are linked to this application. You can price the in-apps, of course, but for beta, it's free. And I have some data, and what I use the tag. You can see here, 23. It's the amount of minutes. So I have a description. You can have description in all the languages. So if you build an application in 10 different languages, you have to provide 10 different language descriptions for the in-app purchase as well. So I can add a few different ones. It will search for all the in-app purchase with a keyword time. So I can dynamically make these different packages. So you don't need to redistribute or re-upload your app if you change your business model a little bit. So maybe your package of 100 Smurf berries won't work very well. You have to like a discount. Okay, 250 now for a dollar instead of 100. You can just change it in the portal, and after a few minutes, this will be updated, and your application will follow these new rules.
Okay, thank you. So as you can see, there are things that you can implement very, very easily. you know, trial mode. All it takes is just 3 lines of code, and you can go. I mean, all it takes is for the user to download a new license, and then you will unlock all the features of the app. That's something that, I mean, everyone should do. I mean, price is always a blocker. If you go for, like, $99 or 99 cents, you know, people are going to react negatively to that. I mean, if they have the opportunity to try the app, that helps and drives probably, like, 3-4 times more the number of downloads. Test your application. I mean, you can define your group of beta testers. You can give access, I mean, the application to. I mean, as he said, there are multiple ways you can publish the app on the store. But not only that, given that this is TechEd, and we have a bunch of people from different companies, you know, one of the things that we did in Windows Phone that we don't have on the presentation is, I mean, you have the possibility to siloed applications. You don't need to publish them. I mean, you are working for a large organization and you're building an app that only employees will use. I mean, you can give access to employees only. So the way that works is that what you need is that what we call an enterprise certificate that you will use to sign your applications, and then you can distribute those applications the way you want. I mean, it is just a sub file that you can send via email, that you can give them, you know, they can go through an intranet site where they can go and install the app, and you control that application through that certificate. Then you can use things like Intune, for example, to manage the different devices that you have in your company. So you can decide what apps, I mean, people install or not install on your different phones. So there are multiple scenarios in the way we can develop and we can distribute those applications. I mean, the ones that we saw here today are through the store, because the idea is to give those apps to as many people as we can and get as much money as we can make. With that, what is the... Okay. The clicker. Oh, thank you. So, final approach. I mean, one of the easiest ones as well is ads. You know, give the app for free, just with ads. You know, the goal here is to get as many people. Not only as many people, it's about usage. Ads work well with games, where people really, really get engaged with the game. The example that we have here is one developed by one of the persons in my team, Bernardo, and it's a backgammon game. I think that one of the things to keep in mind when you have ads on your app is build your app and your design around the ads, not the other way around. You know, don't develop an app and then, you know, snap an ad control into the app. You have to make sure that the app is part of the experience. I mean, as you can see here, is that the whole design was built around the ad control. It has to be part of the experience so people don't notice those ads are not, I mean, offensive, so to say. So people can play with the app and they don't bother that the app comes with ads. And that enables you, you know, that people try the app. If they like it, where you can go is from a free ad-based model to a paid version without ads. And you see that a lot. That's another opportunity for you, you know, for you to go. Implementing the ad control takes 5 minutes. But it also gives you other opportunities. One, to keep in mind, is, hey, the fill-in rate is not perfect. Regardless of the ad control you use. I mean, you can go with us, you go with Infragistics. Nokia has one, it's working with a broker that gives you access to multiple ad networks. Use that same control, to promote your own application. Make sure that there's always an ad. I mean, if you don't get an ad from the publication service, from the ad service, I mean, put your own, promote something else. Use a duplex. As I said before, a duplex is a really good example. It's like a developer network. Developers use a duplex all the time. This is another example. I mean, same way, as you can see, the game is not, I mean, people barely notice the ad. The ad is part of the experience. You know, they are integrated into the experience. And at the same time, you know, if you remove the ad control and you go through a paid version, it's almost the same experience. It doesn't disturb. And time is important here. you know, you want to use ads in those applications that people are playing or working with. I mean, long hours. Games are ideal for ad controls. I mean, if you're planning on building, I don't know, an expense report kind of application that people use once a week or once a month, ad controls is not going to help you make any money because there's no usage behind those. I don't know, because we're running out of time. I think that, but it's just to give you an example that, okay, go ahead.
It's less than 5 minutes. This is how you make money, it's easy. So implementing ad control, it's really easy. And there's different strategies as well. Emilio already talked about the easy one. I know a guy who built a Sudoku app, he only made $15,000. Another son of a colleague of mine, he makes around 10, 20 cents a day with an app. That's not that much, but he built 50 apps. So then that's up. So advertisement is really easy. So what you do is go to toolbox, back your ad control on the page. Oh, that's the wrong emulator. I want to reuse the emulator. So what will happen now is you won't see an ad. I said, well, Matthijs, you screwed up. Yes. I just want to show you because you're going to do this as well when you start building it. It doesn't work. Why not? You didn't specify the correct capabilities. The ad control has some capabilities necessary defined in the manifest, which you can do here. It needs the user identity. It needs access to this one and the dialer. And we are working with the Pub Center team to create an ad control which needs less capabilities. When you start it now, it will show an advertisement. I just made a cent. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, multiply that for 1,000 times, 1,000 cents.
And the thing is, if you want to change that, you go to Pub Center, you log in with your account. When you have a developer, you just hit one button, it will create an account for you. You copy application ID, and you copy your application ID. You go to Visual Studio. You hit the properties of the control. You change the ad unit ID and application ID. And when you deploy the app, this doesn't work on the emulator, so people don't start earning money from real advertisements. And you deploy your app. It's easy. And if you don't want to use our control because we don't have a fail rate in the entire world, I would recommend using a unified ad control. This control helps you defining some different strategies without updating the app all the time by using, for example, remote configurable. An XML. So, well, in the US, I want to use Pub Center. In China, I might use Smato or maybe Google Analytics, Google Ads. You can define the different controls, which you see a list of here. Ad duplex, or maybe 80% is Pub Center, 20% is ad duplex. You can specify the different strategies. And this is something you have to play with. So, if you use this kind of controls with remotely changeable XML, you can just change the XML on your server. This works really well for a lot of developers. Make it as flexible as possible. And play and try to use this kind of scenarios.
You can go with that control, you can go with our control, but there are plenty of other companies that provide that type of service. As I said before, Nokia has one, Aduplex is, I mean, one that is really taking off because it's more about, you know, developer to developer. I mean, you've got a space, they've got a space from other developers. So you can use that to monetize your application, but also to promote your own application on other applications. I mean, here you have just an example of one of the many that you can use. I mean, Interactive, Infragistics, InMobi, Smato, MobFox. Investigate those. Why? Because if I go back to how I started the discussion, is that think about the markets that you want to target with your application. So, for example, I mean, we work extremely well. Our fill-in rate is in the high 80, 90% in the U.S. So if you have an app, you want to target the U.S., I mean, I would advise you to use our control. You know, if you're thinking about Chinese, our numbers are not that good. But those are good in other companies. So think about those things. Think about the market and how you monetize in those applications. eCPM in the U.S. is really high. It's really low in China. You can also think about different versions of the same application with different strategies. Ads work well in the US, not so well in China. China micropayments work extremely well. Some of the top Android applications are making millions of dollars, but it's via micropayments and in-app purchase. So again, I mean, it requires a little bit of investment in terms of time and research from your side before you decide what the right strategy for your application is. And again, this is my closing slide. Hey, this never ends. So don't think about just building an app, publishing the app, and then, hey, no one uses it, or you don't get as many downloads as you thought you would. Don't think that way. I mean, it's about iterating. You know, you gotta publish your app. Think about your business model. Publish your app, get feedback from users, refine your app, go with a new version, try different strategies. You know, maybe you go to pay, then try to make a discount, contact us. Contact people from Microsoft in your geographies. There's an app in the store that is called Find My Champ. The app is not beautiful at all. I mean, the app sucks. But it provides contact details to the right people within Microsoft who can help you out, you know, in case that you need any technical issues, or you want to contact with our people in Redmond, and we can help you. We are always looking for fantastic apps that we'd like to promote. We are promoting about 2,000 applications every day through the phone. You know, it's not only the app of the day. We have app highlights with Nokia. We have collections. So about 2,000 applications get promoted. We announced what we call the Red Stripes about a month and a half ago, where every day we promote 3 to 5 applications that are offered at a 50% discount or more. What we've seen is that we have, I mean, multiplied by 10 the revenue those applications are getting. So the money they are losing, you know, they are selling much more, getting less money, but at the end of the day, it pays off. And not only that, it's a halo effect. You know, what we've seen is downloads maintain, you know, probably an increase of about 20 to 30% after the offer is over. So again, multiple things for you to think about, but if there's something I want you to leave the room with, is with this idea. You know, the idea of, hey, it never ends. Design your application, think about the business model, try it out, listen to your user, listen to the feedback, keep an eye on analytics, on crashes, learn from them, and refine your application, and start again. And with that, here you have a list of, you know, of resources. We have, most of the content is accessible via dev.windowsphone.com. You have access to our blog with all the latest news. There's fantastic content, training content, the Jumpstart, and the Absolute Beginners. And if not, you can always shoot me an email. Mine is easy, Emilio, EMILIOSP, @microsoft.com. And with that, I think we've got time for a few questions, or if you want to go and enjoy the weekend in Madrid, please. Oh, please, but hey, before that, before you leave the room is, hey, give us your feedback. I mean, it's important for us to know whether the session basically has met your expectations or not. Send us feedback about what other things you'd like to hear from us. And I think that right now we have one person here is going to win a Lumia.
Yeah. The questions, just ask.
Go ahead. Sorry? The crash report, yeah. Yeah. Our phones, I mean, have something they call home, as we say. You know, every day or at least once a week. So the next time, you know, the phone has connectivity, I mean, we'll send that information to the store. Lumia. You're going to do it? Okay. You pick one. Okay, and the winner is, well, it's someone from Capgemini, Peter Van, you, okay.